Hello and welcome to your GCSE Geography Revision Podcast. Today we're diving into one of the most important topics on the specification, water resources, and how we meet growing demand through technology and the involvement of different interest groups. Water is something most of us take for granted. We turn on a tap and there it is. But for around 2 billion people on this planet, that's simply not the reality. Managing water sustainably is an increasingly urgent global challenge. By the end of this podcast, you'll be able to explain why water stress is increasing globally, evaluate technological solutions like desalination, discuss different stakeholder perspectives, and apply case study knowledge from a developed and an emerging country. Let's start with the big picture. Why is water demand increasing? There are four main drivers. Remember the acronym P, ICC, population, industry, climate, and consumption habits. Population growth. The global population has passed 8 billion people. As populations grow, particularly in sub-Saharan Africa and South Asia, pressure on water supplies intensifies dramatically. Industry. As countries develop economically, they build more factories, power stations, and agricultural systems, all incredibly water intensive. It takes approximately 1,000 litres of water to produce just 1 kilogram of wheat, around 15,000 litres to produce 1 kilogram of beef. Climate change is altering precipitation patterns globally. The IPCC projects that by 2050, over 5 billion people could face water scarcity at some point during the year. And finally, changing consumption habits. As living standards rise, people use more water. Longer showers, washing machines, irrigated gardens. Per capita water consumption in high-income countries is dramatically higher than in low-income countries. Now, let's cover key terminology. Examiners love accurate geographical vocabulary. Water stress occurs when demand exceeds available supply. The UN defines it as when annual water supplies drop below 1,700 cubic metres per person per year. Water scarcity is more severe, below 1,000 cubic metres per person per year. Countries like Yemen, Jordan, and Libya are in this category. Physical water scarcity means there genuinely isn't enough water in the environment, affecting the Middle East and North Africa. Economic water scarcity means the water exists, but countries lack the financial resources or infrastructure to access it. Much of sub-Saharan Africa falls here. This distinction matters enormously for your exam. The solutions to physical and economic scarcity are very different. Right, technological solutions. The big one is desalination. Desalination removes salt and dissolved minerals from seawater to produce fresh water. The most common method is reverse osmosis. Seawater passes through pre-treatment filters, then is forced at very high pressure through a semi-permeable membrane. Water molecules pass through, salt ions are blocked. Fresh water on one side, concentrated brine on the other. The advantages? Reliable, drought-proof water supply. Saudi Arabia gets around 50% of its drinking water from desalination. The Sorek plant in Israel produces 627,000 cubic metres of fresh water per day. The disadvantages? Extremely energy intensive, large carbon footprint, brine discharge can damage marine ecosystems, and very high infrastructure costs, making it inaccessible for lower income countries. So evaluate desalination as effective but expensive, energy hungry, and not universally accessible. Other management approaches include water transfer schemes, moving water from surplus to deficit areas. China's south-to-north water diversion project transfers water from the Yangtze River Basin to the drier north. Extraordinary engineering, but controversial because it displaces communities and disrupts ecosystems. Groundwater extraction pumps water from underground aquifers. In India, over 60% of irrigation water comes from groundwater, but many aquifers are being depleted faster than they recharge. This is called over-abstraction. Water conservation strategies include metered supplies, drip irrigation, which can reduce water use by up to 50%, grey water recycling, and public education campaigns. Rainwater harvesting collects and stores rainwater for later use. In rural Bangladesh, it has provided clean water to millions of people where groundwater is contaminated with arsenic.
Now,
let's talk about stakeholders. And this is where your exam answers can really shine. Different groups have very different perspectives on water management. A common mistake candidates make is treating the government as one single voice. But even within governments, there are tensions between economic development and environmental protection agencies. National governments prioritise water security as a matter of national interest. They invest in large-scale infrastructure, dams, desalination plants, water transfer schemes, and negotiate international water treaties. Local communities often have very different concerns. They may depend on rivers or wells used for generations. Large infrastructure projects can displace them or destroy their livelihoods. The Three Gorges Dam in China displaced over 1 million people. Environmental NGOs, organisations like WWF and Greenpeace, advocate for sustainable water management that protects ecosystems. They often oppose large dam projects and promote conservation instead. Multinational corporations have a strong interest in reliable water supplies for manufacturing. Companies in food, beverage, and semiconductor industries are particularly water intensive. Farmers and agricultural businesses are the world's largest water users. Agriculture accounts for approximately 70% of global freshwater withdrawals. Farmers often resist water restrictions that would reduce crop yields. International aid organisations, such as WaterAid, focus on equitable access to clean water in developing countries, promoting appropriate technology communities can maintain themselves. Now, let's apply this to our case studies. For our developed country case study, Australia's Murray-Darling Basin. This is Australia's most important river system, covering over 1 million square kilometres and providing water for around 3 million people. By the early 2000s, the basin was in crisis. Overextraction had reduced river flows dramatically, causing the mouth of the Murray River to close entirely in some years. In 2012, the Australian government introduced the Murray-Darling Basin Plan, setting legally binding limits on water extraction, aiming to return 2,750 gigalitres per year to the environment by buying back water licences from farmers. A classic example of balancing competing stakeholder interests, farmers versus environmentalists. For our emerging country case study, India. India has 18% of the world's population, but only 4% of its freshwater resources. The Central Groundwater Board estimates that over 60% of India's districts face some level of groundwater stress. The Indian government responded with the Jal Jeevan Mission, launched in 2019, aiming to provide piped water supply to every rural household, targeting over 190 million households. At the local level, traditional water harvesting structures called stepwells and johats are being revived in Rajasthan, restoring community water security where modern infrastructure has failed. Now, exam technique. The most common mistake is writing narrative instead of analysis. If a question says explain why, you must explain the mechanism. Use connective language. This means that, as a result, consequently. For evaluation questions, anything with assess, evaluate, or to what extent, you must reach a judgment. Weigh up the evidence. Which factor matters more? When a question asks about stakeholders, always name specific groups and explain why their perspective differs. Use specific data wherever possible. Desalination is expensive, earns fewer marks than the Sorek plant in Israel cost over $500 million to build. Quickfire recall quiz. Pause after each question and try to answer before I give you the answer. Question 1. What does PICC stand for? Population growth, industry, climate change, and consumption habits. Question 2. Physical versus economic water scarcity. What's the difference? Physical scarcity means not enough water in the environment. Economic scarcity means the water exists, but countries lack infrastructure to access it. Question 3. One advantage and one disadvantage of desalination. Advantage, reliable drought-proof supply. Disadvantage, extremely energy-intensive and expensive. Question 4. What did Australia's Murray-Darling Basin Plan of 2012 achieve? Legally binding limits on extraction.
by turning 2,400.
Right, let's wrap up with the key takeaways. Water demand is rising due to population growth, industrial development, climate change, and changing consumption habits. Remember PICC. Technological solutions include desalination, water transfer schemes, groundwater extraction, and rainwater harvesting, each with specific advantages and limitations. Different stakeholders have different and sometimes conflicting perspectives on water management. Sustainable management is essential. Solutions must balance current needs with the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. Use your case studies. Australia's Murray-Darling Basin Plan and India's Jal Jeevan Mission are excellent examples of how developed and emerging countries approach water management differently. In your exam, the difference between a good answer and a great answer is specificity. Names, dates, statistics, and genuine evaluation of competing perspectives. You've got this. Good luck with your revision.